Think about your worst oh shit moment in business this year. What early warning signal would have helped you see it coming 30 to 60 days in advance? This culture and these values must be as attractive for your A players as they are as a repellent to your B and C players.
What if you could build a business in the modern world as big or as small as you want without having to compromise the things that were the most important to you in the very beginning? This is the Wealthy Consultant Talks podcast with Taylor Welch and Mike Walker, as they share with you today their learning lessons from stories and their experiences over the past 10 to 15 years and share with you right here, right now. Let's get into it.
What is going on, my friends? Mike Walker here. Welcome to another episode of the Wealthy Consultant Podcast. I want to share with you a powerful topic that we covered recently with our chamber clients, our highest tier consultant clients here at the Wealthy Consultant. And I posed a question to them at the top of our call. Every single Wednesday, we get together, mastermind. It's great. It's one of my favorite times of the week. But I started the call with this particular question. And I want to pose this question to you because if you resonate with it, and more specifically, if you resonate with what the answers we got back, I think you're really going to like what we talk about today. And that question was this. I asked him, think about your worst oh shit moment in business this year. What early warning signal would have helped you see it coming 30 to 60 days in advance? And the problem or that quote unquote oh shit moment that a lot of people had this year was losing a valuable team member. And sure, there were a lot of other answers. There were, we should have watched spend and expenses better. What were some others? I'm looking through here now. Client satisfaction ratings. But gosh, as I'm scrolling through all the answers, a large majority of them was actually losing a high caliber, a highly valued team member. And so that prompted my thought today, as I wanted to bring to you, is what does it look like to not only attract A players, but most importantly, keep A players? You know, I say it all the time with clients, like eagles don't want to scratch around in the dirt with chickens, right? They want to be flying high in the sky with other eagles. Well, that's great. So how do we attract those eagles, but then make sure they want to stick around, right? Well, there's some psychological things that we need to build into the environment, the culture, the value system that we have as an organization. And we also need to ask a very simple, but powerful question, which is something I'm going to share with you today. So let's dig right into it. But again, I found it very interesting that so many people really were kind of caught off guard by losing a highly valued team member. So what does that present? Well, we have to solve for that, right? I didn't see it coming. If I could have seen this person was starting to kind of waffle, not be that excited, that really would have been a big lift for me. So how do we do that? Well, obviously listening. I think one of the biggest things that people forget is that just like we have a marketing system for our prospects and our general market, right? What we call our TAM, our total addressable market. We have a marketing system. We have to capture attention. We have to retain attention, right? Well, the same is true for your team. Like we can't, as founders, as leaders, as people that run an organization, we cannot forget that every single person on our team is being bombarded with new information, new opportunities all the time. In particular, those A players, those people that bring so much intrinsic value that their opportunities are almost limitless. And that is kind of the crux of this issue, right? Is we want those A players, and yet the A players aren't exactly just sitting around waiting for opportunity. They have so much thrown at them that they really can kind of call the shots. And so we really need to build an organization that, again, not only attracts these people, but keeps them. So how do we do that? Well, there's a lot of things. And I wrote down some notes I want to share with you. Building a culture where the best ideas win is a big one. You know, just because maybe an idea comes from somebody in a lower department, if you will, right? It's not the C-suite guy or whatever. What we try to do here at the Wealthy Consultant is build an environment where good ideas can be brought forward from anybody, and they're respected as such. And what this does is it allows A players from maybe in the part of the organization that wouldn't normally be considered, you know, the decision maker tier. That doesn't matter. Like, we want good ideas coming up through the system. And so with our managers, we always want to foster an environment where they are encouraged to encourage their team. Hey, don't forget, these people on the front lines, they are being exposed to a lot of different aspects of our customer base that we don't necessarily see on a day-to-day level. It's hard to see some of these nuanced conversations that they're having in some kind of spreadsheet that we're seeing, right? And so we always want to foster an environment where it allows ideas to move up the chain and allow, even if they are just a support team member, you still need A players in your support team, right? And so we need to make sure that at every tier, every level of the organization, that A players are nurtured and encouraged to bring their ideas to the table. And why is that so important? Because when they see their ideas being acted upon and valued, naturally they're going to feel, wow, I'm bringing something to the table here. There's a sense of ownership that they have in their position. One of my favorite questions to ask, and Taylor asked me this a lot when he and I first started working together, was, how are you feeling? As simple as that. How are you feeling? And at first you're like, well, I'm fine. But no, but how's it going? Like, how are you feeling about what you are doing on a day-to-day basis? Well, it's really busy, but I feel pretty encouraged, actually. This so-and-so did this, and I'm seeing good results from the team as they're working on this project, right? What you're trying to do is you're trying to kind of nurture a conversation, a dialogue with your team. How do you feel? Yes, the mechanics of your job, your KPIs, these are all absolutely important, but we cannot forget that we are spiritual beings having emotional interaction in a physical environment, right? And so we want to make sure that our people feel good. And one of the best things we can do is just simply ask them, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? Simple, but potent, to be sure. Another one is the idea that this mission is more important than the chain of command, and that all A players should have the autonomy to be able to bring, again, ideas to the table and feel like they have movement. And this is a big problem in particular when you have a team that's bloated or you have too many, you know, B and C players in your team, is that your A players are being surrounded by people that don't match their frequency. And so it erodes at their confidence, it erodes at their motivation. And honestly, these people are a negative energy source. They're actually detracting from the power that this A player could bring. And so what we typically find is when you remove those C players and those B players from the organization, you would think, oh man, we have all these empty gaps in the org chart. Well, not typically. What you'll see is you'll see that it gives the A players room to breathe, and it gives them the ability to take on initiatives and be more creative and really think outside the box about, okay, we now only have 3 people doing this when we used to have 10. So what are we going to do? Innovate rather than just throw people at problems. That's a big one. Another one I wanted to share is that we have to remember that when you establish those high standards, that is one of the greatest gifts you can give an A player, is when you raise the bar and you say, yeah, this is hard. That's why you are here. That's why we selected you to be on this team, because we know that this is, there's a big wall to hurdle here. And we chose you as being the person that we think has the capacity to do it. You know, inside here at The Wealthy Consultant, I've even talked about this before on a previous episode, but it fits in line here is our ACE framework. And basically it's ACE, right? Attitude, competency, and experience. Attitude, competency, and experience. And what we do is we run every single person in the org chart through that three scores, essentially, 1 through 10, attitude rating, 1 through 10, competency, 1 through 10. How effective can they be here? Do they have the capacity to actually do what it is that they need to do in this position? And then third, experience, right? You'll notice that we prioritize in that order as well. Attitude, that's the highest one, because I don't care if you are the hotshot guy that can get it all done, good for you. But if you are like a cancer to our culture, right? If you erode at the energy and the momentum that we have internally as a team, we don't want you around. I don't care how good you are as a hotshot ace or whatever. The reality is that we are not going to allow any kind of negative energy into the organization that's not synchronous to our collective, you know, frequency, our collective mission at hand. And we simply protect the attitude piece very, very highly. Competency, same thing, is like, hey, look, we love you. We think you're a great person, but your natural aptitudes, are they aligned with the outcomes that are required in the role that you are? This is a big one, especially when you might have the right person, but in the wrong position. This is a big one for you founders, and the organizational design is a key factor here. So you're like, wow, I really like them. They're great, attitude on point. But man, it just feels like there's a lot of, they're pushing a ball up a steep hill, you know, in their role. Well, it might just be that you have, again, the right person, but in the wrong position where they could thrive somewhere else. Or if there's not somewhere else for them to go, it might be that they're either outgrown or not kept up with the demands of that role and they need to move on. You know, I see a lot of hesitancy when I meet with some of our clients about letting people go. It's a sensitive topic. Obviously, I understand that. It's not comfortable. But in every single instance, 100% of the time, when we have to have those uncomfortable conversations about, hey, you know, we just reviewed your chart, which is something we try to do about every 90 days, say, look, this person was great, but the team that got you to base camp one might not be the person and part of the team that gets you to base camp two. Nothing is static in this world. Everything changes. And that means the adaptability and the evolution of your team is absolutely going to be part of that. And that's one of the hardest things that you will deal with as a founder, as a leader, is having to navigate the complexities of those nuanced relationships that are inside of your team and realizing that, man, they've been doing great. But now the call and the demand that this role requires has changed, or it's evolved into something else, or that just simply doesn't suit them. And that's where you either have to migrate this person over into a new environment interdepartmentally, or simply, you know, transition them out in a healthy, respectful way that gives them the ability to go excel somewhere else. One of the worst things you can do is hold on to somebody that is a good person, but not performing well because you like them. That's one of the worst things you can do for them. It is not treating them well by holding on to them just because you're like, well, we like them and we don't want to let them go. That's actually holding them back because they could actually thrive somewhere else. You need to go let them be planted in other ground and where they can grow to their own next level, right? Even if that means not being with you. And so again, there are some big things here that, you know, are not always easy to navigate. But I want to end with this, and the idea being that you must have a fundamental and structural set of culture and value statements built into the company. These are like the DNA of your organization. And the very day that somebody onboards with you, they need to be presented with these culture statements, mission statements, value propositions, like what do we stand for? Because if you don't know what you stand for, you'll fall for anything. And I want to make sure that when you have a new person come onto the team, that they immediately know, wow, okay, this is what it looks like to be part of this organization. This is what it feels like to be part of this team. These are the expectations. This is the identity that I need to assume to perform well and to fit in here. Here's the piece I'm going to leave you with, though. This culture and these values must be as attractive for your A players as they are as a repellent to your B and C players. You should have people that onboard with you and tap out. Yes, you heard me right. You should have people that come in and then realize, whoa, this is a different level. This is rarefied air that I don't think I'm prepared for. And I don't think that I can thrive here. And that is 100% okay. In fact, when someone taps out here at the Wealthy Consultant, we celebrate them. We celebrate internally as a team. It's not like cheering because they couldn't make it. It's cheering because it means that our culture is doing what we want, which is to protect and fortify our brand, our voice in the market, and ultimately the internal camaraderie and culture that we have as an organization. You have to protect that. You must keep the wall high, because for every single C player and B player that you bring on, you are eroding at the performance opportunity from your A players. So I just want to encourage you, do not hesitate to raise the standards. Your A players will rise to meet it, and your C's and B players simply will not be able to keep up. And that's okay. You want to celebrate that. All right. Love you guys. Thanks for joining me today. I hope this helps. Drop in the comments too if there's any instances of getting rid of, transitioning out team members that you would like help with, or experiences that you'd like to share. We're all about knowing what's on your heart, what's on your mind as a business owner, a CEO, a founder, a leader. We would love to help address those questions in future episodes. All right. Take care, guys. Cheers. We'll see you on another episode soon.